Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey.
So.
Yes.
Welcome back to another week of Is That So, Detroit.
Yes, yes. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you indeed. We appreciate you. Just a little housekeeping before we get started. If you have not noticed, our podcast is now available on iTunes. So if you have, if you like to listen to podcasts, you like to stream them, you like to subscribe through iTunes and then have them on your various mobile devices or your computer, you can now look us up. Is That So? And our beautiful faces will show up there. And you will be able to subscribe and listen to us on demand. So feel free to subscribe. And please, you know, reach out to us on social media. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are, we're just on Twitter and Facebook, pretty much. But but reach out to us. We want to hear what you want to hear about. We want to know that. So feel free to reach out. And thank you for your support.
Yes, appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
All right. So, Kim, did you catch the presidential State of the Union address yesterday?
I caught bits and pieces. I did. I'm still a little under the weather. So I'm, like, all bundled up when I'm not working. But, yeah, I did. I caught bits and pieces, and then I caught a lot of the highlight, and, of course, in my news reading for the day, it has been pretty much all about the State of the Union address, but that's to be expected. Here in Michigan, we also had the State of the State address, so it was a double header for us, but on a national level, yes. Yeah, everybody's talking about the State of the Union address. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know,
yep.
Facebook is pretty much a huge fight this morning. Which
all I can see is like about how Obama owned them, how busy he owned the little heckers. He had a little situation where he said, I have no more campaigns running. You know, a couple of smart aleks wanted to clap, I guess.
Right.
He said, you know, I know this because I won both of them, and, you know.
I won both of them.
Yeah, he won both of them. Got him. Get him.
That's our president, though. That's our POTUS. He is forever getting those little sidebars, those little one-liners in there. I can appreciate it.
Yeah, you're never going to catch him slipping.
Never,
yeah.
Ever. Whoever his writers are, they are superb when it comes to that area. Not gonna lie.
You know, I actually think that was ad lib.
All him.
I don't think that was written. I think that was all him. You know,
people
started clapping and stuff.
Yeah. You do get that feeling though. I mean, let's be honest. Barack Obama has swag. He is.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Quick, he is quick on the uptake. He's light on his feet. You know, I do. I have a lot of confidence in him when it comes to holding his own.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Now we got that taken care of. One of the biggest things that, you know, that he talked about, or one of the things that stood out for me is, like, equal pay for women, as far as, like, in the workplace.
Yeah.
All that. What did you think about that?
Well, first I'll say that it's not surprising. I mean, when it's something that always, always comes up when you have a Democratic head of state. So not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, think about who we have as the FLOTUS right now. I mean, as far as the first ladies of the United States go, Michelle Obama has probably been one of the most unorthodox one of the most vocal. We've had some pretty iconic first ladies in the past, but I can definitely say that Michelle Obama will join the ranks of first ladies who have been pivotal in affairs of our shores and in world affairs. So that makes it even less surprising that this is something that Barack Obama has had as one of his platform staples and that he will continue to have, I think, even after he is gone. And so, you know what? I think that it's something that needs to be discussed because I think it's quite evident that in corporate America and everything that trickles down from that in big business, there is a gulf in gender equality. And then outside of business, even in just everyday affairs, there's definitely a gulf in gender equality. So,
okay. So I'm looking at WhiteHouse.gov, and I'm just seeing that the disparity between men and women, it says that full-time women workers earn about 77% of their male counterparts' earnings, and then it says for African-American women, they earn 64 cents, and Latina women earn 56 cents for every dollar earned by a Caucasian man. That's some crazy numbers right there. Like,
really?
That's crazy.
That's nuts. So that in combination with the fact that in the African American and Latino or Latin American household, a majority of those households are run by single women.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that put us as a country, right? So first of all, let's talk about the fact that nowhere in the world, like if you just look at the entire globe, the majority of people are people of color.
Right.
And then here in the United States, growing is the population of our Hispanic Americans. Growing is the population of immigrants, which is a whole different topic that is also something that's been a huge thing during Obama's presidency. But so you have a rising number of African-American, Latin-American women running households, and they're making half the amount of money doing the same job that white males are making.
Yeah, yep.
And who's
working? I have no idea.
Right,
usually I have a rebuttal, but I can't explain that one. I'm no feminist, but, you know, that's wrong. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's crazy.
I
mean, because let's be real. I'm not a feminist either. As a matter of fact, I was bitching last night. So listeners, this goes to show you what my everyday life is like. We have conversations like this all the time. So I was talking with one of my cousins last night, and he's young. He can be inflammatory. He shall remain nameless, but he was saying some pretty sexist things, right? But it went right into this. We were talking about nursing, and he goes, "Well, you know, nursing is pretty much a woman's profession anyway." And I'm like, really? You're gonna say that to me right now? Is that
because
is
women aren't supposed to be nursery, right? I mean, Stop it!
No, just because a majority, and I don't even know if this number is still true because I know plenty of male nurses. First of all, nurses make great money. It's not inherently a woman's profession. As a matter of fact, almost no profession in the history of mankind is inherently a woman's profession because back in the day, women couldn't work. All we did was household chores. So every profession, medicine included, was inherently a man's profession. So let's just throw that out there. And I'm no feminist either. I know I may sound like it sometimes, but I even have some pretty traditional ideas when it comes to certain areas. However, I feel like gender, right, gender equality is one of the world's oldest but yet still greatest battles.
Right.
Like, not, I mean, we've made progress, but obviously with those numbers that you just shared, we haven't made a whole lot of progress. And
yeah.
I think that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty terrible. And then you think about, so gender equality sort of feeds into a lot of the different struggles that we have as a society, right? So I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer that children should be raised in a household with two parents. Like, I believe in a whole family. We're talking about gender equality today, so I won't even get into the whole lifestyle choice, you know.
Lifestyle choice, family,
but,
and then, yeah.
Okay. Right. But I'll just, for today's purposes, I'll say that I do believe that a household should have two parents. That being so, though, reality is that there are a lot of households that don't have two parents. So why are we as a society continuing to perpetuate these single mothers having to struggle more so than, like, a single male parent or a two-person family that has just one working parent? Like, in most cases, and, well, I will say that the number of stay-at-home dads is rising, but a majority of two-parent households that have a stay-at-home parent, the stay-at-home parent is the woman. So even in that case, though, a single woman is just at the bottom of even women who have married and still have just a single income. And that just doesn't seem fair or right or practical to me.
Right. And exactly, it's practical. Like, I don't want to say something too bad. Like, I could see if, and this is wrong too, you know, women, you know, in this situation, you have sexual harassment and you have different, you know, women not getting their rights and stuff in the workplace. And that's a problem too, but equal pay, I think it's greater than, because that's like the basic thing. You go to work to get money. You go to work to get, you know, your paycheck. And I feel like no matter who does the work, if that job is worth $100,000 or $50,000, you know, that's what you should be getting. It shouldn't be, oh, she's a woman, you know, take 25% off that. Or, you know, you know, that's just a fundamental right that everybody has. I believe whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, black woman, black man, whatever. Yeah, that has to change. Like, that's the first thing I feel like it has to change. And like I said, I don't want to sound bad because, you know, there are other issues, you know, women in the workplace, sexual harassment, and all those things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those, I don't want to say are, you know, it's
like
sometimes a gray area for stuff like that. I mean, it's a big issue, but it's sometimes a gray area for it. But I feel like this one is straight up like a black and white issue. Like, you know, there's no way that somebody's doing the same job because they're a black woman or Latino woman that she should make 75 cents on the dollar or 65 cents on the dollar or 50 cents on the dollar compared to a man.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Agreed. You know. But you know what? It all sort of feeds into that main issue, though, because the reason that businesses pay women less is because in the capitalistic society in which we are, everything is driven by the dollar, everything is driven by green, they can justify
that's like how we were talking about last week.
Right. They can justify it by saying, well, for the women, there's a possibility that they're going to get pregnant and they will be less than their male counterparts.
Right.
Like carrying a child
and forward and, you know, sort of improving our chances of existence as a species is less work than coming to work and doing your job without having to worry about also carrying a baby and making another life inside of you. But that's the whole, it's, this is a man's world, right? That is the whole problem. That's the whole issue. Right, exactly. But it's true. But it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. Like, when will people realize that? You, Mr. CEO, in your office, in the penthouse, would not even be here had it not been for a woman who was getting paid less, who was working in a lot of cases harder, and also carrying you, raising you, nurturing you. You wouldn't have even been here. So how can you then turn around and say, well, we're going to pay them less because we're going to have to pay more for their insurance policy because of the maternity, like, or maternity. Oh, that's another issue, how in so many places and so many businesses, unpaid maternity leave is the standard? Really? Really?
Oh, wow.
Unpaid maternity leave. Yeah, yeah. There are universities, right? Universities are the hotbed for change in our country, quote unquote. But there are universities that still don't have paid maternity leave. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's another proof for me that college is a Ponzi scheme. My friend said that. College is a Ponzi. It's pretty much a scam. Yeah, you know. But I digress. You know, go ahead.
That's a conversation for another day, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so it's, I don't know, man. It's just, that's the issue. And I guess that speaks to a different, a bigger issue as far as, like, mm-hmm. men and women. I know we're not the same.
Right.
We have our different things and tics and, you know, you have testosterone, you have estrogen, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Hey, you know. But also, like, there are certain things that are different, you know, between us. And then we have, you know, double standards, right? You
right.
know?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Men are supposed to cry. Women are known for crying. Whatever, you know, double standard you can think of. Like,
right.
Okay, you're a woman. I'm sure, you know, your dad probably had, you know, a certain, you know, standard that he set you to, right? That
mm-hmm.
if he had
yes.
a daughter, I mean, a son that, you know, imposed on him. How do you feel about, like, that? And contributing to, you know, these bigger issues, just starting up from, like, that basic level and extending
right.
to an even bigger thing.
Yeah, so, well this is one of those dualities that I have. So, as I referenced earlier, I'm no feminist in a lot of ways. I have
right.
feminist friends who basically feel like I am taking us back decades because I am very well aware of the double standards. And for many of them, I think they're wrong. But in some cases, I think that they are unavoidable and even
mm-hmm.
strengthen us if we learn how to work with them. So double standards that I don't agree with. When a woman takes authority in the workplace, she
right.
is conniving, she is a bee with an itch, she is, yeah, you know, like, she's all these negative connotations. She's outside.
Right.
She doesn't know how to stay in her lane. But when a man takes authority in the workplace, he is driven. He knows what he wants.
Right.
He is strong. He is. He has ambition. He's ambitious. Like, you know, like, the whole terminology changes. And so it's like you. And that's a double standard. you can't say
right.
that a certain behavior is one thing for a woman and something completely different and positive for a man.
Right. Okay. And why we're there, right? And we know that, you know, the man is supposed to be a strong, dominant, you know, figure, and the woman, you know, has been portrayed, you know, throughout history as a submissive and whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. So do you think this whole women empowerment, you know, strong women and all that, do you think that, because we know that might contribute, do you think it's a subconscious or a blatant, you know, the whole equal pay and all that stuff, do you think it's a blatant thing that people do just to kind of stick it to women, I guess you would say? Like, how much do you think that figures into this whole discussion of equal rights and equal pay?
Well, in 2000 is a self-lubricating machine. I think that it is so ingrained into who we are as a people, who we are as a country, that we don't even think about it anymore. It is subconscious. It is running itself. It's a machine that is running itself. It is self-sustaining.
Right.
You know, people, there are people who even think in their minds that they are pro-gender equality, that they are, you know, pro-equality in every other way, that are subconsciously perpetuating this whole issue, this whole conundrum, without even thinking about it, because that's how ingrained it is into our society, into our institutions,
right.
and into who we are. But back in just not even 100 years ago, just to give you a perspective, not even 100 years ago, there were calculated, and I guess at each point in history, there were calculated that were done. So I think that there are people right now who are calculating and making policies that will ensure that this idea remain, but I think for the general population, for the, you know, the normal Joe Smo, I think that it's just a subconscious thing. But that's how it's always been, right? There are playmakers,
right.
and then there are the people who are just going through the motions. So I think that there
right.
are playmakers who are making very calculated moves to ensure that certain things continue, and then I think that the vast majority of the population, though, it's just, you know, it's just life as usual.
Right, and I just feel like, you know, well, part of me is like, I believe in all good of people. I'm like, people are never, like, deliberately, you know, target women for this. You know, that's not American. And another part of me is like a realist, and it's like, you know, this country is based on a lot of those things, you know. There's a conspiracy
yeah.
to kill Dr. King, so, you know, yeah, and they were in it, so. So I just feel like that's a possibility because, you know, nobody talks about this stuff. But then, you know, it's possible because if you look at the civil rights movement, you know, when the movement got
mm-hmm.
stronger and people were, you know, walking to the polls to vote and things like that, you know, there were,
mm-hmm.
you know, they had certain things to kind of make sure black people didn't vote. So in that regard,
right.
I'm like, okay, maybe it's blatant, you know, and that those
right.
things are blatant. You know, so I'm like,
right,
maybe they're doing this on purpose, you know?
Right. And, you know,
yeah.
some say that the whole gender equality and women's lib movement were never the black woman's fight to fight. There are some
right.
that say that. They say that involving women of color was just another tactic to divide our culture. Because,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there is something to be said about that, that you know, now that you bring the civil rights movement up, our issue was civil rights. Our issue was the blackness that we have that was trying to be pushed down. And in
mm-hmm.
the black culture, women were never really oppressed by our black men. If anything,
right.
you know, it was just our men who were pushed down. So far.
Right.
So there are some that say that the whole involvement of black women into the white woman's fight for equality was a calculated move on the part of white males to keep black people as a race divided, men against women, as opposed to the strength that we were amassing by banding together. Because in the black household, the woman was not pushed down. In many cases, it was the woman who was having to hold everything together because our black men had been pushed down so far. So that's
right.
Sort of another thought that's at play here as well. When black women became distracted by the whole women's lib fight, that took away strength from the civil rights fight. Where do you stand
right.
with that thought? I mean, I think that there's something to be said there. I don't think that it's a completely outrageous thought.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I've never thought about that. I don't know. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. It's
how can
I fight
against him? You know? Wow, that was pretty deep. I couldn't even... I'm going to have to revisit that.
Yeah.
I never thought about
that.
Revisit. I never...
Yeah. I came across this documentary, and I'll have to get the name of it to share next week, but it was talking solely about that. And I, you know, I watched it and I thought, wow, there is something to be said about that school of thought. That there were points that were very valid in that school of thought. And you're right, a lot of us, especially now, our generation, we don't think about that because we're kind of removed from the heat of that battle at that time.
Right.
So, but when you start to think about it, there are a lot of valid points and there are a lot of things that are still being perpetuated today that could be said to be sort of descendants of that power play to divide us as a people. So that's something to think about, too. Not to say that gender equality is a movement that is without necessity, but if there is something to be said about pulling from one movement to another movement when it wasn't even really all that much of an issue for the people group. So I thought that was interesting to throw in there, too, when thinking about not only gender rights and equality, but also civil rights and equality. And then, you know,
right.
everybody's got a movement these days, too. And I was talking about that earlier this week, how lots of people and people groups like to equate their struggle to the civil rights struggle. And that is definitely a conversation for another day because we do not have time to talk about that. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, and like I said earlier, I like to think the best in people, but it's just certain things, like, that they probably had a motive. Like, you know, it's not just a coincidence. So.
Right.
Wow. They used the woman empowerment. You said they used the women's empowerment to kind of divert from the effectiveness of the rights. Is that what you were basically saying about that?
Yes, exactly. That when they took the black woman's attention away from the civil rights movement and made their focus the women's lib movement, it was a calculated play to derail the civil rights movement, to take some steam away from that train. Yes, that was the thought.
Got about 20 seconds left, Kim. Any final words? I'll let you have it this week.
Oh, thank you. We're making moves in the gender equality as we speak. I just want to say, think about it. Just think. Use your mind.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for another episode of Is That So Detroit. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Peace.
We out.